Here's a miss inside by Shibway and the rebound to Kansas. Back comes Brown down the right sideline, trailing by one. Brown for three. Yes! Christian Brown from downtown. And KU goes up two.
I mean, our team tonight wasn't perfect by any stretch, but we did a lot of things well. I mean, our defense was really good. You know, you can say McNeil got hot in the first half. He's 7-7, but he threw in a couple that were hard. And you know, when our emphasis is, having four guards guard their bigs. So, you know, we did much better second half in that regard. But I thought we did a lot of good things tonight. Defensive rebounding was average, but we did compete on the glass.
KU did hold their own on the glass last night in the battle of two top 10 teams in Lawrence in front of about 2,500 KU Jayhawk fans, as KU actually wins comfortably 79-65, down by one at halftime, led 13-4 early. A bank in three at the buzzer put them down one at halftime, but KU leading 49-47, went on 11-0 run and led 60-47, never looked back. KU 16 of 37 from three for the game, 9 of 19 from three in the second half. Christian Brown, 22 points, 6 three-pointers. Jalen Wilson, 17 points, 4 three-pointers. Marcus Garrett, 15 points, 3 three-pointers. And Abagia, 11 points, 3 three-pointers, 10 rebounds. McCormick, 10 points, 11 rebounds. It was a balanced attack. KU, as you heard Bill Self say, played good defense. And in the rebounding category, pretty interesting when you look there, as KU out-rebounded West Virginia 40-37. Offensive rebounds are even at 19 and a piece. And I do think that West Virginia didn't really make much of an adjustment there in the second half. They played some zone. I mean, KU was lighting up with threes. KU had wide open shots. I mean, just absolutely wide open shots. And, you know, people talk so much about how great KU shot the ball. When you're that wide open, you should make quite a few three-pointers. I was really, really surprised with West Virginia's defense. It was very soft, and that's not what we are used to seeing from West Virginia. And KU, their quickness really gave West Virginia some problems, and they never able to really utilize their inside game with their bigs. And David McCormick came to play. He was aggressive, 10 points, 11 rebounds, Lightfoot a few key minutes off the bench. And then KU's guards, you know Marcus Garrett, Abagi with 10 rebounds, Garrett go and get rebounds, Wilson will, Brown, of course, a good rebounder, 6'5 guard. A lot of people don't know Christian Brown's 6'5, 6'6. He doesn't look it per se, but he is. Mm-hmm. And so KU with a great win, and honestly, there's nothing really to be upset about. I mean, there were some shots West Virginia hit in the first half, were some tough shots. But I was watching the KU game last night, and I couldn't help but think KU and Bill Self has turned into Jay Wright and Villanova. And that's what went through my mind watching the game, mm-hmm. is that all Bill Self said, according to Dick Vitale, that they wanted to shoot more threes, that they need to shoot more threes, more three-point attempts. They put up 37. That's what Villanova typically will do.
Yeah.
And KU had four guards and one big, like they did pretty much the whole game, because they can't go two bigs now. And then at times they're playing a five-guard lineup. And so you spread the floor. That's what Villanova did and killed Kansas in the Final Four in San Antonio. Just absolutely killed them. Udoka Azubuike was completely ineffective because he couldn't come out to guard a guy that could shoot the three at the five spot and Pascal. And Villanova lit KU up. And KU wasn't used to trying to go small and play five guards. In fact, sometimes they'd play two bigs, and that didn't work. DeSosa and Azubuike. So then it was DeSosa playing some key minutes second half of that game, even though Villanova was blowing out KU. So it looks great when you're making threes, but when you're wide open, you should make threes. The question is, when KU plays against teams that are still bigger than them, but teams can actually get out and guard them on the perimeter and not give them that much room, because KU had all day to shoot some of those threes. The other thing KU did very well was they moved the ball crisply. And for all the kids, I was just going over this with my son, watching some of the archive video on our video stream of Beloit JV, and I was showing him. I said, you guys dribble too much. I said, when you guys are playing a zone, you guys dribble too much. It's like you catch the ball and you immediately dribble it three times. Mm-hmm. The best way to defeat a zone, and Lord knows Coach Eilert and I and Kyle Beisner and others have preached it since these kids were, second grade. Against the zone, move the ball. Don't let it even hit the floor. Maybe take one dribble. But when you dribble, that makes it easy for a zone to defend you, unless you can split that zone with penetration. So move the ball side to side. And if you move it quickly, and sometimes a diagonal skip pass works as well, or if you can cut into the open spot of the defense and then kick, drive and kick. And I saw that the other night with basketball, where kids would make good drives, but then they would force up bad shots. It's like, no, you got one guy open on your right, one guy open on your left. You have to have the vision and your eyes up to where when you split and go into a zone, you got to be able to kick it. If you're going to drive drive with a purpose and know what you want to do, and that comes with experience, of course. Mm-hmm. So if you're able to penetrate a zone, you know you're going to have somebody wide open on the perimeter. That's just the way the game's played now. And so kick it to the guy that's wide open. And now if you can drive it and get all the way to the hoop, then by all means, go ahead. Or if you got a teardrop and there's no two or three guys aren't coming out on you, and you can throw up that little teardrop in the lane, okay, that's different. But when you go in and you draw two or three defenders and then you throw up a wild shot, that's a bad shot.
Yeah.
It's good penetration. It's a bad shot because you've got two or three teammates that are wide open just waiting for the ball to knock down a three-point shot. And that's what happened last night. KU, when they did go up against West Virginia, when they played some of that zone, KU carved it up. They'd go in, then they'd kick it out, then they'd swing it, and West Virginia couldn't react. Nor can any defense react. Mm. When you quickly move the ball, and then, of course, when you make shots, it makes it look so much better. Now, Kansas could have the same shots January 2nd against Texas at 11 a.m. at home. Texas ranked 10th in the country, KU 3rd, and probably will stay there, I would guess. Baylor's really good, still number 2, number 1's Gonzaga. But when you move the ball and get that wide open looks, you should shoot really well from the perimeter, and Kansas did that last night. But I'm telling you, when I was watching this game, I'm like, this looks like Villanova. This looks like Villanova, and I have no problem with it because that's the way the game is now. One big, four out are the better teams for the most part. Gonzaga plays an up-and-down style and really plays one big, who's really good, and the Timmy kid. But he can step out and hit 15-footer. McCormick, every once in a while, he can hit that 15-footer. But Kansas isn't the old Bill Self, high-low, three guards, two posts. That type of offense is almost becoming a bit extinct at the college level right now. And that's why you see Udoka Azubuike, who somehow went late in the first round of the draft this year. But in years ago, Udoka Azubuike would have been a top-10 pick. But now in the NBA and the way the game is played in the same way we're seeing in college, it's spread the floor, shoot three. See the Houston Rockets. I know they haven't won a title doing that. See the Golden State Warriors, who have won multiple titles. Watch the L.A. Lakers. They'll drive. They kick. Now, they got a big in Anthony Davis, but Davis can step out and hit shots. But watch the Lakers. You know, LeBron, when he drives, he's thinking kick to a wide-open guy. And if nobody's going to come over on him, he's going to take it all the way to the hoop and flush it or score. And, of course, that's the greatest player in the world, I would imagine, right now. So that's a pretty high standard to compare to. But it is basketball. It's not as easy as it sounds. But when you're able to move the ball quickly against the zone, or if you're playing man-to-man and you can break down somebody, the guy guarding you off the dribble, and make help come to you, then all you got to do, you basically, like, sucker. Like, you drive in and you get by your defender, and you're just waiting for the help side guy to come over. And the help side guy comes over, you kick. Because you know there's a guy open, probably from the spot where the help came from, right?
Yeah.
And we hear defensively, help the helper. But many times defenses get good help, but then the helper, the next guy, the third guy, yeah, defensively doesn't do what he's supposed to do. So if you can break anybody off the dribble, break them down off the dribble, whether it's man-to-man or able to split a 2-3 or whatever it might be, get into an open space, that zone, and then you can kick with the way guys now can shoot the basketball and how much of a emphasis is on shooting the three ball, which I have to admit, at times watching last night, I'm like, okay, all it's going to be is a chuck of three by both teams, and it was there for a spell. Mm. And I'm not all for that per se, but the way the game is going, Bill Self, this is why he's a great coach, and he's a Hall of Famer. And by the way, Bob Huggins should be a Hall of Famer too. I don't understand why he's not already. Bill Self adjusts to his personnel. The coaches that aren't great are the ones that, I only have one system I can coach, and I've got to get the guys to fit my system. And even when I don't, I'm going to force a round peg into a square hole or a square peg into a round hole. Bill Self has to adjust. He's adjusted over the years. Think about how he's adjusted. He's had shot blockers. He's had two bigs and three guards. He's had guards that can't shoot but could drive it. And he's had guys that can shoot. And now he's evolved into four guard, sometimes five guard lineups because of the personnel he's got. And he's still ranked 3rd in the country. He's in the top 5 with his program, despite all the different ways that they play offense, because Bill Self is one of the best coaches in America because he adjusts to his personnel. Even though he recruits his personnel, sometimes it doesn't work out. You know, DeSosa would have been a part of this team. Obviously, he's had issues. McCormick didn't play well early in the year. You know what? I'm just going to put DeJuan Harris in. We're going to go small. And it works. For the most part, it works. There's going to be times it won't. But last night, it absolutely worked. On top of that, they were the first one to all the loose balls. West Virginia looked slow. Maybe it was because of the long road trip, because they have the longest road trip of anybody in the Big 12 from Morgantown, no question. But they've been there and done that before. KU didn't have 16,000 yelling and screaming to, you know, distract and mess up West Virginia. And that's why I thought West Virginia might have a chance last night. So I'm really surprised that KU won so easily, pulling away in the second half. And I'm really surprised how non-physical West Virginia was, how slow they looked at times and how KU had open shot after open shot. And I give credit to KU moving the ball. I give credit to Bill Self for the lineups and changing things. But I also have to sit here and go, West Virginia is going to play much better when they play in Morgantown.
Yeah, they are usually a little bit better than that defensively, right? Like,
yeah, they were not good defensively last night.
It's like
at all.
A team that, and I didn't see the whole game. I saw just parts of it, but I'm with you there. They
KU didn't have too many bad shots at all last
night.
No,
they didn't.
Or four shots.
Yeah, and so it was a little different to see West Virginia struggle that much on defense, and like you said, not really a whole lot of adjusting to it to try to change anything, but. It was not what I expected it to be at all.
Me neither. Okay, you cruised pretty easily there in the second half. All right, we'll get back to college basketball here in a moment and then some other stuff. KBCA rankings have been released, if you care about that, which I honestly really don't. But that's just my opinion. Some people care about it, and they like to see their team ranked. I know how flawed the system is, and that's not a knock on the system per se. It's just that coaches don't turn in their stuff. Or don't see teams other than the team they play in themselves, and so they don't really know what's going on outside of their own world of basketball, which I don't blame them at all for.
Yeah.
Because I'd be the same way.
Yeah. And this year's harder to
try
to figure out who's where.
Teams playing one game, teams playing six games. Yes.
And so, they are out. The full rankings can be found at NCKSSports.com. Area teams from the immediate area that are in the rankings in 1A D1 girls, Osborne's number 5. Osborne boys are number 6 in the 1A D1 rankings. And Division 2 and 1A, St. John's Tipton girls, number 6. And the St. John's Tipton boys are number 7. And then also in 2A girls, Smith Center is number 9. So those are the immediate area teams that are in those rankings here this week. Again, they're all posted at NCKSSports.com. Also, you can find our Athlete of the Week at NCKSSports.com, and that is Osborne sophomore Trinity Luters. After being named a first-team All-League selection last year, off to a great start through the first 5 games. As we mentioned, Osborne's ranked number 5 in 1A Division 1 girls. They're 5-0 to start the season. And through the 5 games, Luters is averaging 20 points, 3.5 steals, and 3 rebounds a game. Shooting 48% from the floor, 71% from the free throw line, and a team-high 11 three-pointers that she's made. And the last time out this past Friday against Tescott, she scored a season-high 23 on 9 of 15 and 4 of 10 from beyond the arc, and also had her season-high of 5 assists and had 4 steals in the 63-25 win. She scored 18 or more points in all of the games, had 21 in the first two, 18 in the next two, and then again 23 last time out for Osborne. So Trinity Luters is the NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week, our final one here for the 2020 portion of the school year. So congratulations to Trinity on being the Athlete of the Week. And again, you can read more about her at NCKSSports.com. And if you ever want to nominate an Athlete of the Week, you can also always visit the website at NCKSSports.com. Find the details on how you can do that. And we'll start giving them out again in 2021 for Athletes of the Week.
All right. Sounds good. And congratulations. I have to think a little bit in regards to Trinity and Trina.
I've done it before.
I did it last year when I did the game. I got it mixed up a couple times. It's kind of tricky. Way to name your kid basically your own name. I'm just having fun with it. NFL quarterback in trouble for clubbing. Dwayne Haskins, just not the brightest kid. Dwayne Haskins, the second time he's in trouble violating COVID protocol, he finally got back in the starting lineup because Alex Smith's injury with the calf injury. And this is a team that is leading our division, doesn't really need distractions. And I think Dwayne Haskins, the Washington football team can't wait to just unload him as soon as the season's over. And I don't blame him. Dwayne Haskins, I never felt like he was going to be a good NFL quarterback at all. I never understood. I watched him at Ohio State, and I didn't feel like, I mean, he had great numbers, but I never felt like he was an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
And when he got drafted so high, which it was Dan Snyder that wanted him, not the actual organization, believe it or not, that was a mistake. That's why owners need to let their people that they hire do their job. That's why sometimes Jerry Jones, you know, meddles too much. That's why the Chiefs, I think, work.
Problem is because, Jerry Jones is that person,
well,
too.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. He has too much control. I mean, he's the owner, but he thinks he's the greatest at everything.
Yeah.
He does have the greatest building in the NFL. I will give him that. But, you know, I think one of the reasons why organizations, like, you know, for instance, you know, Robert Kraft is pretty hands-off. I mean, yeah, he's in the news a little bit, and yeah, he was in the news for the wrong reasons not too long ago.
Yeah.
But he's pretty quiet for the most part. You know, Clark Hunt, you don't hardly ever hear anything about Clark Hunt. He just lets the people he hired do their jobs. That's perfect. There is nothing wrong with that. Dwayne Haskins is forcing the Washington football team into a corner, having already been fined for violating COVID-19 policy earlier this season. He has apparently done it once again, or at least that's what the team is looking into this week. Haskins was seen taking in the sights at a local exotic club, which is not illegal, by the way, following the loss to the Seahawks in Week 15. The problem was pictures were taken, TMZ posted, and it shows him at the club without a mask, and that is a violation of NFL COVID-19 protocol, thus puts his teammates at risk. And who? What else? Whatever else you can catch in these establishments, by the way, too. And the league has been contacted to determine the next course of action. And this is a distraction this week. The players are going to be asked, his teammates are going to be asked about this when they're trying to focus on their next game. Because if they win their next game and the Giants lose to the Ravens, Washington is the NFC East champions.
Yeah.
And they'll have a first-round game at home as a 4 seed. So that's not good, and it's just, you know, selfish. And he's already made a mistake once. It's one time. It's one thing to make that mistake once without a mask and a violating protocol, but to do it again, see you later. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce is closing in on the single-season receiving yards record for tight ends. He has 1,318 yards. He needs 60 yards to break the record set by tight end George Kittle in 2018 of 1,377. And odds are Kelce will get it. Here's the thing, though. Kelce better get it this week, because I don't think he's playing last week. As long as they beat the Falcons, which even if they don't and the Steelers lose, he could possibly not have to play that final game. And that's the thing I've heard some people talk about yesterday. Well, what about week 17? You know, if the Chiefs have everything wrapped up, do you think Andy will still let, like, Kelce try to get his record? And do you think he's going to let Mahomes get some stats and Hill get some stats? And you know what I think the answer to that question is? Heck no. And if I'm the coach, and I'm Andy Reid, and if all these guys I truly believe what they say to the public, and Kelce said it, and Mahomes has said it, and Tyreek Hill said it, it's all about the team. We're all about winning. That's the goal, is to win the Super Bowl. We don't care about who gets the MVP. We're not worried about who gets Pro Bowl. That's nice and everything. We just want to win another. We want to run it back. If the players truly mean that, and I think they do, there will be no problem when Andy Reid walks in and sits down with the players, individual meetings after this win, hopefully against the Falcons, and says, hey, guys, you know now. We have the number one seed wrapped up. I'm going to tell you, I know you're close to maybe even getting some incentives in your contract or getting stats, and I'm just going to say right now, our plan is not to play you next week. You have any thoughts on that? And you know what I think is going to happen? I think the players will be like, you know what? Yeah, I love the play. I would rather play, obviously. But I also know the bigger goal is to win it all. And that's why the Chiefs organization is so good. The players are bought in, except for maybe DeMarcus Robinson, because I think he's extremely selfish, the things he's done recently. I think this team is all in, and it's about winning a Super Bowl, just like it was last year. And now they are the defending champions. And so fans can get all riled up about, oh, my God, Kelce's not going to be able to get this record, you know, if he ends up getting less than 60 yards this week against the Falcons and sits against the Chargers. Or Mahomes didn't get this, or Hill didn't get that, or whatever. And you know what? Honestly, as a Chiefs fan myself, I don't care. I don't give a rip about records for individual players. Because if the individual players don't care so much, why should I care? Why should I freak out and worry about Travis Kelce getting a record if Travis Kelce's like, dude, if that's what I got to sacrifice to get another ring on my finger, bling, bling, I'll take it. You do know, by the way,
a heck of an incentive to winning the Super Bowl.
There's also money that you get for winning the Super Bowl. People don't realize that. You get money by making the Super Bowl. You get incentive money by winning the Super Bowl. You also get a ring. You could go back-to-back. You'll be remembered for probably eternity in NFL by being back-to-back champions. And so, yeah, you may get an incentive for you know, if you hit 1,500 receiving yards, you might have a bonus that kicks in. But you also get bonuses and kick-ins as you go deeper into the playoffs as well. So, you know, to me, I love how fans get, and I love it. I understand. Fans are big in the numbers. I'm big in the numbers. I love numbers. I really do. Do I want Mahomes to hit 5,000 yards instead of be at 4,998? Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
But why do I care?
Yeah.
As long as the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, it doesn't matter to me. Like, and 2 years ago, the Chiefs had a quarterback throw for 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards, and didn't get the ball in overtime against the Patriots. Do you think his stats mattered at all when the coin flip was in favor of the Patriots? No. The stats meant nothing. Nothing. And you know what? Everybody was worried, upset after that game about why were they upset? Dee Ford was offsides, and Chiefs never got the ball in overtime, and Chiefs fans were wanting to change the rules of overtime, including Andy Reid. You didn't all of a sudden hear about, well, yeah, you know what, but Mahomes threw 5,000 yards, so yay, I'm happy. That's not how it works.
No.
And if the Chiefs get all these records and Travis Kelce and Mahomes play against the Chargers and one of those guys gets hurt, but they get their records and it affects the Chiefs in the playoffs, you know what those same people are going to say that say, let them play and get their records? Why did we play them? Because now they're hurt and we ain't going to win the Super Bowl. This is simple. It's win. You win. And if you win and get records in the process, fine, takes care of itself. But if Travis Kelce is 1 yard away from getting the record for a tight end or leading the league in receiving yardage going into the Charger game, unless you believe that the starters need to play a quarter or a half, if that's your plan going in, fine. But don't put him back out there in the third quarter to get one more catch and then risk him breaking his leg or ripping up his ACL. It's not taking a hit and getting a concussion. It's not worth it. You got to understand the big picture. And the big picture is winning it all. Again, it is not, the big picture is not posting a whole bunch of stats. And as Mahomes said, I'd rather be the Super Bowl MVP than the regular season MVP. Amen, brother. Amen to that.
Every time.
Every single time. Bowl games. Let's see. The roofclaim.com Boca Raton Bowl went to BYU all over Central Florida, 49-23. Nevada wins the Potato Bowl and gets a whole bunch of russet potatoes. 38-27 over Tulane.
They got a penalty for dumping fries on their coach and they went on the field.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did they forget the ketchup and that why they got penalized? I don't know. Lots of dipping sauces, ranch. You can do a fries, too. My kids like barbecue sauce or steak sauce dipping fries in. Hey, whatever works for you. Just not mayonnaise. New Orleans Bowl, Louisiana Tech gets Georgia Southern Day at 3 o'clock. Montgomery Bowl, Memphis versus Florida Atlantic. I'm super excited about those two matchups. Let me tell you.
Can't wait.
Florida football in trouble. Florida football program's been on probation for 1 year. Coach Dan Mullen's been given a 1 year show cause penalty for violation of recruiting rules. It was announced yesterday. The release from the NCAA states that Mullen, along with an unnamed assistant coach, had impermissible in-person contact with a prospect that recruits high school. The coaches, according to the report, expressed interest in the unnamed high school player. The NCAA also found that Mullen sent text messages to the student-athlete about the high school visit, meaning that this wasn't a case of the coaches bumping into the student. Off-campus recruiting isn't allowed until high school players have reached their junior season. So Florida football getting a bit of a penalty there. Auburn's hired a new head football coach. It's Boise State's Brian Harsin replaced Gus Malzahn as the Tigers' head coach. Harsin was 69-19 in 7 seasons at Boise State, won 3 conference championships. He's never finished worse than second in his division in 8 years as a college head coach. But I'm going to tell you that will change when you're in the SEC with the likes of LSU and Alabama, and that's the division Auburn is in. NBA season is underway. The Nets dismantled the Warriors last night, 125-99. Kevin Durant looked really good. I love it. I'm not as big a fan as Kevin Durant. When he was with OKC, I'm still maybe a little bit sore that he left, even though I understand. But I just didn't like where he went to when he left OKC City. But he had the right to go there. So I still like watching his game. I respect. And when a guy rips up his Achilles and gives up a year and a half of his career, or at least a year, to try to win a championship, I can do nothing but admire and respect that, because that means he's very unselfish. Okay, he gave away a year of his career trying to win a championship. He knew there's a chance that Achilles is going to pop. He did it. And now he's gone through all the rehab, and he looked pretty good last night. 22 points in 25 minutes. Now, Kyrie Irving, I don't care what he does. 26 points for Irving in 25 minutes. So the Nets looked great last night. People were talking about – and Vegas, you know, the number one team is the Lakers to win it, 11-4. You know who they got the next best odds to win it?
The Nets. Yeah.
Which I guess the East, if the Bucks don't seem to get it done in the playoffs and make the finals, I guess that's the next best thing. I'm just not convinced the Nets are going to be that great. But Steve Nash might be a brilliant coach. I will say this. The Nets are deep. Caris LeVert, averaged 20 a game last year. He comes off the bench now. He had 20 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, and Nets roll the Warriors. And by the way, Andrew Wiggins looked awful last night. Kelly Oubre, former Jayhawk, had a great slam dunk on a follow putback over Durant, but did not look good at all. Wiggins is just – Andrew Wiggins has just absolutely not lived up to any of the hype.
Oh, no.
And it's in some ways, we shouldn't be too critical, because it was unfair because they compared him to being the next LeBron James at one point when he was in high school. So – sometimes that's unfair. The Lakers defended their championship, getting their rings last night. But here's the thing. They lost to the Clippers, 116-109. They were down 22 first half, came back, tied it in the third quarter. And then Paul George, because it's not a playoff game, took over. 33 points for Paul George. Maybe he'll do better under Ty Lue as his head coach. Of course, Ty Lue going up against LeBron, who he won a championship with in Cleveland. And the Lakers, though, should be pointed out, LeBron played just 28 minutes, Anthony Davis 31. First game of 72. And the Clippers do win 116-109. It's nice for the Clippers, something to build off of, but at the end of the day, I don't think it means very much.
No.
Because there's 71 more games. And if LeBron plays, you know, 38 minutes and Davis plays 38 minutes, that game might not be 116-109. Just throwing it out there. So, no need to kill your guys at the very beginning of the season. Good to see Steph Curry back last night as well.
Playing,
he had 20 points, and they need to let him shoot the ball even more with the way Wiggins and Oubre played last night.